Good morning and happy Friday from the Smashy Business Show. My name is Hindal Dah and I am here with
Abdul Majid Awan.
So today we have a lot of business news on our plate, so let's just delve into it. So the Arab stock exchanges crossed 4.174 trillion at the first quarter or the first half of 2024. The Arab Monetary Fund has released its latest report, revealing that the combined market capitalization of Arab stock exchange crossed $4.174 trillion at the end of the first half of this year. The Saudi exchange, Tadawul, leads the region with $2.68 trillion, followed by significant contributions from other Gulf and North African markets, with second leading in is at the Abu Dhabi Securities Exchange at $761.54 billion. Next comes the Dubai Financial Market at $184.8 billion. Then comes the Qatar Stock Exchange at $157.9 billion. The Bursa Kuwait at $134.06 billion. The Muscat Stock Exchange at $63 billion.
And then let's move on to the complete list. I'll complete the list. And I know it's a lot of money that you talked about. Casablanca Stock Exchange is at $69.4 billion. Egyptian Exchange, 39.07. Tunis is $8.3 billion. And the list goes on and on. So it's a good move. Hind, you didn't ask me today how my day was.
I apologize. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. What are your plans for the weekend? Anything?
I'm just not going to do anything this weekend. Just chill, hang out with my friends.
It has been a very busy news week. Yeah. Right? There's been a lot of work. But this report that we read, we wanted to start with it because we wanted to show that the business environment, the stock exchanges, especially in the Middle East, are doing really good. And they've crossed the 4.174 trillion mark. It's not billion because we're used to saying billion,
yes,
but it's trillion, so it's a big number. Let's hopefully see. We've talked a lot about in the past days about the stock market crashes across the globe, especially in the Asian market. But Hind, I think this is a good sign. And let's see. Hopefully, we're doing a lot of stories today which are positive also. Mm-hmm. So let's move to Etihad. Etihad had posted a profit for the third consecutive year in H1 2024. So they've been doing profits. The Abu Dhabi-based airline has been doing great. In the first half, income was driven by strong travel demand. We did a story yesterday about the Dubai airports that they posted a lot of passengers, a record-breaking passenger number. So Etihad has also seen a 48% increase in the first half income driven by strong travel demand. So profit after taxes rose to 851 million dirhams and in the first half of 2023 as compared to 2023. But the challenges are there still.
It came with a lot of challenges with the aircraft deliveries. So it faced delays from Boeing and Airbus, which impacted potential growth. And the airline expects to receive 20 new jets after July next year, missing the peak summer travel period, which is, we all know, the summertime. To mitigate the shortfall, Etihad is returning 5 Airbus A380s to service and leasing 6 A321neos.
So talking about Boeing, you mentioned Boeing. There's a lot of controversy going about Boeing that their planes are faulty. They recently announced that they'll upgrade the doors, the emergency doors. So because recently in the US, a plane, as soon as after like 10 minutes or as soon as it took off, the doors came out. Hopefully there was no casualties, there were no deaths or injuries, big injuries, life-threatening injuries. But eventually, Boeing has been asked to make their things better.
Yes.
Recently, we saw that Emirates also posted their business class. They have inverted the seats. They've come up with a new design.
It's a very interesting design. It looks very
fashionable. Yeah, so basically they're not facing the pilot.
No.
They're facing the other side. A lot of people I saw the reactions on Twitter and Instagram. People were saying that, what is this?
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know, It's nothing new.
Yeah, people were not excited about it. I guess they were expecting a swimming pool in there.
I don't think Emirates is going to do that. But it's exciting for somebody who flies Emirates frequently to see this change. It's kind of like a roller coaster when you like go backwards. It's not the same in an airplane.
Maybe it'll have a different feel when you sit.
Maybe,
but by looking at it, I don't think it's much. It's just a design thing. It's not a comfort thing, I guess. But let's see, hopefully we'll travel there, we'll sit on it and we'll explain later our experience, what happened. Mainly Tim Clark, recently the Emirates head, he recently said that everything is getting expensive, so the tickets will also get expensive. So the idea that they're renewing, they're investing so much on Boeing 1, the problematic airplane maker, and then now coming up with the new business class. I don't know, it's kind of an irony and they're showing off their business class. So hopefully things will improve. Etihad's profits have soared. We delved into Emirates also, but Etihad is doing good. Let's move on to our next story. Or do you have anything to add for the Etihad story? I think you do.
So let's talk a bit about the industry-wide concerns as you talked about Boeing. So there have been delays in delivering aircrafts, which have affected the global have affected global airlines from fully capitalizing on the post-pandemic travel surge. As we know, after the pandemic, travel rates surged and travel in general surged.
I think everyone throughout the pandemic was like wanted to go somewhere. It was such a long period, two years.
Yes, so everybody just wanted to leave where they were. And Etihad CEO Antoine Noel Doneves emphasized the importance of timely delivery of next generation fuel-efficient planes for sustainability goals. Both Airbus and Boeing have acknowledged the challenges and are working to improve production and delivery timelines. And I believe they have upgraded or they have changed their CEO or somebody in Boeing to kind of...
Obviously, when such a big controversy happens, the top ones, the top people who are the
decision... They need to change. They need to change because...
Some people go away, some new people come in. They want to... Basically, the businesses want to show that we're serious about this problem.
We care and we're going to do some
It happens
changes,
when a sports team, which is like meant to win the World Cup and they lose and the captain is taken off, the whole team remains the same. So most probably, let's see, hard times for Boeing, but they'll recover soon. It'll be a good sign if they recover soon because a lot of planes that we know are from Boeing. There are other big manufacturers as well, but Boeing is like the main one.
I know we talked yesterday about planes being more safe than cars or taking the train and everything, but from seeing all these images and videos on Twitter of, you know, Boeings being faulty and doors opening mid-air, so it will be good to have a change of, you know, of the
change
decision of guard, makers.
Maybe some other companies capitalizes on Boeing's problem. Let's see, Etihad has posted a profit and Dubai's Emaar properties, the whole Dubai Emaar group has posted a lot of profits in all their verticals that we work in. But mainly Dubai properties has seen a big surge, 56% surge in the H1 property sales. So they've sold more than 56% properties this first half year, first half yearly report of 2024. So Emaar Properties is basically, it also owns Emaar Development. It's a majority stake owner in that. And Emaar Development has also posted profits nearly 2 billion, if I remember correctly. So this impressive growth from Emaar, considering the Dubai market, I guess it's great for the region. Again, we always talk about it. I don't know if it's too much repetition, but the property market in this region...
We have to talk about it. I mean, come on.
Everyone is talking about
it. It's booming. It's, you know, it's been booming and it still is prospering.
There's one small thing that they mentioned in their press release, Emaar, that they've, they're going to spend 1.5 billion dirhams on the expansion of Dubai Mall. I know this news came out... before as well, like a month ago, but they've confirmed it in this press release again that 1.5 billion dirhams for the expansion of the Dubai Mall, and that will add 240 new shops to Dubai Mall. It's already a headache walking through Dubai Mall.
Exactly, and I didn't know you could add even more luxury outlets from I guess sometimes you see
Dubai Mall is so big that sometimes at the start of it you enter from this side, you see a shop, and then at the other end of it you see the same shop again. It's good for that. See, it's not like just they're building shops and no one is coming, they're empty.
No, people are coming. Yeah. And
so there is business interest in getting those shops, I guess.
And we've seen also recently that they're starting to charge people to pay for parking. Yeah. So that shows
that's a very different story, but it's after the first 4 hours. So yeah, go to the Dubai Mall, go to the fountain, enjoy a cup of coffee or maybe a cake or something.
Mm-hmm. And leave before you have to pay.
Yeah, leave for before parking. You have to pay for parking. So, lastly, today, this, as our consensus says, is the biggest story because it has a lot of background to it. The anti-money laundering crackdown in the UAE. So the UAE suspended 32 local gold refineries for 3 months now for not complying with the anti-money laundering laws. The suspension will start started on July 24 and will end on October 24. The refineries were charged with 256 violations, including failing to identify money laundering risks and not reporting suspicious transactions. So again, a very, very good move because UAE, I guess, has been in the gray list and they've come out. Hint, I think it's a good move. It's great that they're taking all the measures.
Mm-hmm. So the Ministry of Economy conducted inspections on the gold sector to make sure that they are complying with anti-money laundering laws. And the Financial Action Task Force
removed
the UAE from its grey list, as you said, which they acknowledged the key reforms which removed the UAE from that list. And the UAE also established an executive officer for anti-money laundering and counterterrorism financing in 2021.
So they know that they have to do something because as far as I remember, and just a small background on one FATF is, basically they try to see if money laundering is happening to fund terrorism or fund anti-government protests.
They
can be used
illegal
for any wrong means throughout the globe. And coming out of the gray list shows that UAE has taken the narrative from the FATF, the directives from FATF, very seriously regarding to anti-money laundering. And they have moved positively. And this action of suspending 32 local gold refineries is just one step of it. And they're doing great. What I would say is, what I read was an interesting number that these 32 refineries, they comprise 5%. They represent basically 5% of the UAE's gold sector. So they're not backing out of this that, these 32 refineries will not be able to make gold. They're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. Even if sometimes it affects business 5% here. But they're doing the right thing, and that's a good move from the UAE government. Their names were not disclosed, the companies. So hopefully some internal sources will know the names. But what we've seen in the past few years, Dubai and UAE overall, the fines for these violations, anti-money laundering violations, reached dirham 249.2 million between January and October last year, that is 2023, and they were 76 million only in 2022. So 76 million in 2022, and then they raised to 249 million. Shows in numbers that UAE is acting against any money laundering.
Yes, those are really good reforms because it will let people know that you can't do this, and this is the fine that you'd have to pay, which will, you know, kind of
that's
make people stray away
Dubai.
From
to be
from
honest
money
that's
laundering.
The good thing that I feel about Dubai and the UAE as a whole, the laws are for everyone, and they're very strict. It's not like you just go through a red light and you'll just be fined a minimal amount. It's a big fine. You don't wear your seatbelt, big fine. So I hope these laws stay. A lot of people, when they see
preemptive caution.
When I talk to my friends in Pakistan and other countries, and they ask me, "Oh, how much is the fine for a red light?" I'm like, "This much amount," and they're like, "Oh, that's too much." But what I tell them
is
it's
much.
Good. It's good that people then don't go through a red light unless it's an emergency. I remember a story: a doctor in the night around 3 a.m. She drove and broke like 10 signals, went through 10 red lights, broke the speed limit, and went to the hospital and delivered a child, and the mother and the child were both saved. So that's a very cute story. And then later, Dubai police obviously waived all the fines when she explained her story. So fines are there for your safety, our safety, everyone's safety. Yes. But sometimes when the conditions are like, conditions ask for doing it, Dubai police is always there to help you. Yeah. So this is all for today. We discussed four stories today. We're trying to incorporate as much stories, as much new stories in our show every day as possible.
And we'll try to condense them into 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. We'll try to bring as much as we can for you, to provide as much value to you as we can. Hopefully follow us everywhere. When I emphasize on everywhere, it's podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. Tomorrow, it's a holiday for us. So we'll
see you on Monday.
Hopefully. We'll see you on Monday at 10 a.m. Have a great day and hopefully have a great weekend as well.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.